It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
On the hot seat, good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Attorney General Bill Barr answering tough questions today before the House Judiciary Committee.
Can you raise your right hand, please?
Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler opening the hearing with a tongue lashing against the nation's top law enforcement official.
In your time in the department, you have aided and abetted the worst failings of the president.
But the ranking Republican Jim Jordan says Democrats are upset with Barr for exposing some uncomfortable truths about the previous administration.
They've been attacking you every day, every week, for simply stating the truth that the Obama-Biden administration spied on the Trump campaign.
Barr's testifying about the Russia investigation and the federal response to Black Lives Matter protests. The hearing was delayed this morning after the committee chairman got into a car accident. He was not hurt. Drug companies in a race against time to get a COVID vaccine on the market before the end of the year. Pfizer's joined with Moderna in beginning phase 3 dosing on volunteers.
This is the main event, if you will, in drug development.
Both Moderna and Pfizer looking for 30,000 volunteers. Moderna is looking to dose at 89 sites across the country. Pfizer plans to test at 120 sites across the world. Dr. Anthony Fauci with the National Institutes of Health.
I can't guarantee you the success of the vaccine, because only a clinical trial will determine that. But I can virtually guarantee you that this has got off to a good start.
President Trump touting the success of Operation Warp Speed.
We've shaved years off of the time that it takes to develop a vaccine, and we've done it while maintaining the FDA gold standard for safety.
Several other companies, including Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, are also on the front lines of vaccine development.
No one company at this stage can make enough vaccine to satisfy all the need that will exist in this country. And so we need multiple companies to be successful to get to the end zone.
First responders and those with compromised immune systems expected to be first in line to get the shot. You and I could be getting another stimulus check from the federal government for a family of four. That's $3,400 in the bank. But that's only if Congress can reach a deal on the HEALS Act, and right now that's a big if. Republicans and Democrats about $2 trillion apart on the COVID recovery plan. The GOP proposal cuts weekly unemployment benefits by $400. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says there's good reason for that.
When you pay people not to work, what do you expect?
Grassley says you shouldn't be making more in unemployment than you do at your job. The GOP funding measure also includes over $100 billion to get schools back in business. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson.
In Pennsylvania, most of our schools open up, probably that third week in August. And that is not that far away. There's just a lot on the line right now.
The congressman says school districts in his state are looking for liability protection should any student, staff member, or teacher contract COVID-19. Many schools in the Commonwealth are screaming for more guidance from Governor Wolf. The first presidential debate of the 2020 election season has been moved. Here's Family Life's Bill Price.
Yeah, Bob, that debate was supposed to take place at Notre Dame University in South Bend, Indiana, but instead it'll take place at Case University in Cleveland. Organizers announced the change for the September 29th debate due to COVID concerns. There are three presidential debates on the docket before the November 3rd election. The second one takes place October 15th in Miami, and the last one will happen at Belmont University in Nashville. 1 week later, October 22nd. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bill. Members of the public paying their respects to the late Congressman John Lewis, the first black lawmaker to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol.
Hallelujah.
Many mourners drove hundreds of miles to get the chance to say goodbye and thank you to the civil rights icon.
We want to pay our respects because he did a lot for the community.
He fought literally until his last breath. I would just say thank you. Like, really thank you for all you've really done. A lot of the privileges that I have, I would not have had had he not fought so hard.
The public viewing continues through today. Lewis's funeral will happen Thursday in Atlanta. Just days after the start of the season, Major League Baseball's been thrown a curveball.
That one is
That's good
a
enough.
Missile.
MLB's called off several games after nearly a dozen players with the Miami Marlins tested positive for COVID. Commissioner Rob Manfred.
It's not a positive thing, but I don't see it as a nightmare. We built the protocols to allow us to continue to play.
The Marlins' home game against the Orioles was called off last night. It's also been scrubbed for tonight. And still to come on the Noon Report, schools face important deadline. Mike Pence in Pennsylvania and water woes in western New York.
Good afternoon. We're looking at a gradual reduction in the tropical humidity, but we still need to track for a couple of more scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon for those of you in eastern Pennsylvania. I'll be back with forecast of Dow's coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, the federal government has teamed up with the Eastman Kodak Company in Rochester, New York, in the fight against COVID-19. WHEC-TV's Nikki Rudd.
From film and cameras to making ingredients for drugs, that's the future of Kodak, according to a Wall Street Journal report, and it could bring 300 new jobs to Rochester. An official announcement is planned this afternoon at the Eastman Center on Westridge Road. The Wall Street Journal reports Eastman Kodak won a $765 million government loan to help expedite drug production here in the U.S. instead of having to rely on other countries like China. Kodak would make the starter materials used in generic drugs.
And look for that announcement at Kodak at 4 o'clock today. Pennsylvania politicians are hearing firsthand today from restaurant owners who have been impacted negatively by the COVID pandemic. They're upset with Governor Wolf's July 15th order that requires businesses to reduce their indoor dining operations to 25%. Many of these business owners say doing that will force them to close their doors permanently. Over half a foot of rain fell in just a matter of hours last night in places like Medina and Albion and Orleans County, New York. Steve Welch at the National Weather Service.
It's around 2 months worth of rain for some of these areas.
The high water submerged cars, flooded streets, and left firefighters busy pumping out basements. Many roads were left impassable by the raging floodwaters.
I've never seen anything like this.
It was torrential.
It was torrential, she says. A no unnecessary travel order was issued last night due to all the flooding in Orleans County, and that cleanup continues today. More than a dozen colleges and universities in New York may never recover from the pandemic. That's according to the Boston Business Journal. It predicts between 10 and 20% of institutes of higher learning may be forced to close permanently within the next 12 months. Among the colleges on the chopping block, perhaps, Damon College in Buffalo and St. Lawrence University in New York's North Country. New York's 700 public schools have just three more days to get their plans for reopening to the state before the governor makes his decision. Look for that next week.
There's nothing like this in the history of public education or even the history of education in our country. This is a daunting task.
That's Salamanca Superintendent Robert Bridenstine.
We need to have a fluidity and a flexibility that will allow us to learn as we go, but also make the important changes to respond to what actually happens each and every day in the school, on the buses, in the cafeteria, and of course, in the classroom.
Governor Cuomo will announce sometime during the first week of August whether schools can proceed with a September start date. A sharp spike in coronavirus cases in Center County, Pennsylvania has health officials there sounding the alarm. The county saw 43 new infections on Sunday, but just one new case reported yesterday. Again, that's in Center County. More than a month has passed since the beginning of Phase 4 in New York, and still, gyms and fitness centers have not been allowed to reopen.
We're ready to roll whenever the state is.
Ron Fay is the owner of Fay's Fitness in Kender, New York.
When? That's what we really want to know, right? When can we reopen?
Fay's joined 600 other gyms in a lawsuit against the state arguing for the right to reopen.
Exercise is medicine. That's probably why we're such a vocal bunch. launch, because we need to get back to where we were.
The lawsuit filed by gym owners expected to get its day in court August 20th. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants to keep military recruiters out of schools. AOC's introduced a bill blocking the funding of recruiters in schools. The self-described socialist says recruiters target low-income students for enlistment. She went on to say that while a career in the armed forces can be rewarding, recruiters make poor kids feel like the military is their only option. Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren is weighing in on an inter-party war of words. It has to do with an ethics complaint filed by a Monroe County legislator against Congressman Joe Morelli. Sabrina Lamar, a Democrat, also works at RIT. She alleges the Democratic congressman used the power of his office to threaten her employment status at that school.
I am tired of people like Joe Morelli abusing their position to silence women, to silence a black woman they disagree with.
Mayor Warren addressing that complaint at City Hall yesterday. Vice President Mike Pence will be in Pennsylvania this week. He will visit Westmoreland County on Thursday for a Cops for Trump rally at the Greenberg Police Department. While there, Pence will reaffirm the administration's stance against movements to defund local police departments. A teen crash victim from central Pennsylvania honored recently with a car show near Harrisburg. Cars were Luke Watson's passion, and hundreds of hot rods showed up at the Walmart parking lot in Elizabethville earlier this week. Luke's parents, overcome with emotion at that gesture of support.
There are no words. You can't put this in the words. There is not enough words to describe this right now.
I just love my little boy with all my heart, and I'm so glad all these people showed up to support him.
The 17-year-old high school senior was killed in a car crash last week. He was hit by a distracted driver. Luke's family says their son was friends with everyone.
He was the one to fist pump the kid that nobody else would fist pump.
He always put others before himself, and he always made sure that everyone else was doing all right.
Luke Watson was an organ donor, too, and helped save seven other children. His bone marrow is now helping cancer patients.
Hurt will never go away, but I am thankful that my son's heart is beating in this world, and I hope they're as feral and as wild as he was.
What an amazing story. The town of Elizabethville, by the way, paid for all of Luke's funeral expenses and has even set up a fund to help cover the hospital costs, too. The two-minute drill next in sports with our own Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Bob. The big story, four more members of the Miami Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus after the latest round of testing. The Marlins now have 17 people test positive in the past 5 days. Monday, the total of confirmed cases stood at 11 players and two coaches. ESPN's Jessica Mendoza says that the players need more leadership from Rob Manfred.
I get 113 pages of protocols, but add to that, now what happens when there is more than one positive test, and the fact that these teams absolutely need direction on whether to play or not once an outbreak occurs.
So more delays today. The Miami Marlins home game against Baltimore postponed, as was the Yankees-Phillies game that was scheduled for today in Philadelphia. The Orioles, who made the trip to Miami without playing a game, scheduled to host the Marlins in a two-game series starting tomorrow. There was action, and Dominic Smith drilled a three-run homer. Mets beat the Red Sox 7-4 at Fenway. The Mets are now 2-2 on the year. Eric Sogar doubled in the runner from second in the 11th. The Brewers beat the Pirates 6-5. Milwaukee scored 4 in the 9th to tie the game. In Washington, it was the Teoscar Hernandez show.
That ball's well hit the other way. Adam Eaton can only watch another opposite field homer fly out by Teoscar Hernandez.
Hitting two of the Blue Jays' four solo homers in Toronto's 4-1 win. NFL news, New England Patriot linebacker Deonte Hightower is opting out of the 2020 season, becoming the fifth Patriot player to opt out. Hightower, who's 30, became a first-time father on July 16th. And the Buffalo Bills announced they're deferring all season ticket members for the 2020 season, giving members the option to apply any money paid toward their 2020 season tickets to an account credit or to be refunded. All season ticket holders will also maintain their season ticket location and account seniority for the 2021 season, if there is a season. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
All right, now the Bills held their first practice today up there in Orchard Park. We'll hopefully play some football this year. Still to come on the Noon Report for Tuesday, we'll tell you about a Southern Tier woman who's getting some national recognition for her songwriting ability. Frontline workers treated to a free round of golf, and Congress debates the HEALS Act.
It's good, I guess, that Planned Parenthood in New York canceled Margaret Sanger. But the world's not going to be any safer because of it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Last week, Planned Parenthood of Greater New York announced that the name of the organization's founder, Margaret Sanger, would be removed from its clinic. They also asked the city to rename a local street known as Margaret Sanger Square. Sanger's being canceled because of her advocacy of eugenics, a movement that began in the early 1900s and promoted the idea that the human race could be improved by selective breeding. Proponents of eugenics like Sanger wanted wealthy and healthy and strong people to have more babies and poor, sick, and disabled and minority people to have fewer or even better no babies. In 1939, in fact, Sanger and Planned Parenthood even launched something called the Negro Project, whose aim was to push birth control on black women, even using the church to do this. Removing Margaret Sanger's name from a building in New York only actually means something in a time like ours, a time of low-stakes symbolic gestures like erasing a name or disinviting a controversial speaker to a university. It's the very definition of virtue signaling, a word that I hate, but which aptly describes what Planned Parenthood is doing here. Canceling Margaret Sanger while still perpetrating the exact racist population control for which she's being canceled. If they truly wanted to help African-American communities, they would cancel themselves and shut down. An estimated 62 million babies have been killed by abortion since Roe v. Wade. While African-Americans make up about 13% of the U.S. population, black babies account for nearly 40% of the abortions each year. Black moms are somewhere between 3 and 5 times more likely to have an abortion than white moms. Since the death of George Floyd, the book How to Be an Anti-Racist by activist and professor Dr. Ibram Kendi has hit the New York Times bestseller list. Kendi, who by the way has been interviewed by Oprah, Stephen Colbert, and Brené Brown, among others, defines racism as anything that, quote, produces or sustains racial inequity. Well, Kendi's definition, though controversial, is widely accepted, especially among the more progressive voices in our society. In that case, is there a company or a cultural institution more obviously and inherently racist than Planned Parenthood? Planned Parenthood was explicitly built on and continues today on sustaining racial inequity. There would be over 19 million more African American people in the world today if not for legalized abortion and Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood's executives already know those numbers. Their business model directly targets black and other minority women. In 2012, an organization called Protecting Black Life used U.S. Census data to show that almost 80% of Planned Parenthood's existing abortion clinics that year were located within 2 miles of a majority black or Hispanic neighborhood. Apparently, Margaret Sanger's legacy remains integral to Planned Parenthood's marketing strategy. And that is to kill the babies of poor minority moms. Of course, the women who walk into a Planned Parenthood clinic don't have the luxury of caring whose name is above the door or on a statue in the lobby or on the clinic letterhead. They're likely not even thinking about Margaret Sanger or even about politics. They're in crisis. They're looking for help. Too many are in poverty. Way too many are there because someone has pressured them into it. The women who enter a Planned Parenthood are often frightened, and they're often alone. The very last thing they need is so-called help from a systemically racist corporation whose hundreds of millions of dollars in profit each year depend almost entirely on killing their babies. Whether or not the founder's name is on the door, that doesn't make any difference at all. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
All right, John, thank you for that. Let's talk weather next with Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Sunshine, mixed clouds. A couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms, though, over parts of eastern Pennsylvania. Humidity will start to lower. It already has for some. Temperatures peaking in the 80s, dropping into the 60s tonight under starlight. Tomorrow and Thursday, intervals of clouds and sunshine. A couple of scattered showers and thundershowers. High tomorrow, low 80s. The high Thursday, upper 70s.
All right, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. Thank you very much. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's going on this Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of July. Attorney General Bill Barr testifying before the House Judiciary Committee this morning. He defended the president sending in federal troops to major cities wrecked by crime and discredited the Russia investigation. That hearing was delayed when the committee chairman, Democrat Jerry Nadler of New York, got into a car accident. He was not injured. Drug maker Pfizer has joined Moderna in testing out a new COVID vaccine.
This is the main event. We now get to find out whether the vaccines are effective, whether they work at preventing infections or preventing severe infections. And then we get to find out whether they're safe.
Dr. Ajit Shah with the Harvard Global Health Institute.
I am hopeful that one or two or maybe even more vaccines will clear that hurdle. But hope is not evidence. And what we need now is evidence and data.
Both Moderna and Pfizer are looking for 30,000 volunteers. Moderna is looking to dose at 89 sites across the country. Pfizer plans to test at 120 sites around the world. Tens of millions of Americans reeling from this pandemic can only watch as Congress battles over the next round of relief money.
The economic pain is not finished.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the $1 trillion HEALS Act provides unemployment insurance, another stimulus check, and money to get schools back in business.
The HEALS Act, that's health, economic assistance, liability protection, and schools.
But Democrats aren't buying what Republicans are selling.
The administration has bungled this crisis, and now they want to take $1,600 out of your pocket every single month.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Dems don't like the cuts in unemployment benefits or the liability protections that the HEALS Act offers schools and businesses. With limits on public gatherings, the wedding industry is also reeling. Wedding planner Tracy French tells Family Life.
Vendors are, you know, losing essentially almost a year's worth of business with these postponements.
She says many couples have pushed their weddings to next year, and that's taking a toll on caterers and photographers. Those that are tying the knot are forced to do it in front of smaller audiences.
Maybe with immediate family members, just very close family and maybe a few friends so that they can at least have a wedding and then get on with their lives.
September and October, by the way, in case you were wondering, those are the most popular months for weddings in America. The parade of people filing past the casket of the late Congressman John Lewis continues today. The civil rights icon is the first black lawmaker to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol.
Overnight, the whole world just changed, and it all started with him.
I'm standing on the great shoulders of people like that.
Thousands of grateful Americans braved a D.C. heat wave to bid farewell to the Georgia Congressman. Lewis will lie in state for one more day before his flag-draped casket is returned to Georgia for a funeral on Thursday. We're coming up on 24 past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report, a Tuesday edition on Family Life.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Bernadette Negus from Savona, New York. She's changing people's lives through the power of song. Quite an honor here to be up for a Dove Award. Tell us about the song and why you wrote it.
It goes back a ways. What happened first was I received a phone call from my mom, and they had said cancer. And so, you know, I was devastated, obviously, and she was scared. And I went right to my, we were in full-time ministry, and I went right to my piano and just started, like, praying and saying, Lord, just take this. Let it not be true. You know, I know how powerful you are. I know who you are. You know, we were serving him in full-time ministry, and I'm like, Lord, this is nothing for you to take it away. You know, you can do this. And I would just was playing the piano and worshiping, and I heard clear as day, you know, when those times the Lord speaks in your heart, he said, but what if I don't do it that way? And it stopped me dead in my tracks. It just stopped me. I'm like, you know, that's not the answer I wanted, you know? And I thought, so then of course I rationalized it all. I'm like, okay, you know, that's not his voice. That's just, you know, the enemy trying to give me doubt and all that jazz, you know? Well, it turned out, I mean, my mom lost her life to cancer, and you know, it was that, and it was bad, and everything else. So I tucked that away. I didn't write the song that day, but that was part of it. And then after she passed away from that, I was reading my Bible, you know, and it was Easter time and in Gethsemane, when Jesus was asking the Lord to take this cup, just take this cup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lord sent angels, instead of taking the cup to refresh him and restore him, his answer, he knew the answer was, I'm not taking that cup. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to walk through this, but I will provide for you and I'll be with you through it all.
Yeah.
And the song is called When the Answer is No. And,
yeah.
And it was recorded by the Tally Trio. Also, Lilliness Music has made it into print music for church choirs as well, so
mm-hmm.
that churches could do it. But the chorus is, when the answer is no, he'll be with you through it all.
Wow.
You know, when the answer is no, even if you fall, every storm you have to face will be covered by his grace, even when the answer is no. And that's where it was birthed
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm. So from a very painful place, and I'm sure those lyrics give a lot of people hope. What are you hearing from people across the country that have heard this song?
Actually, SGN Scoops Magazine just wrote an article on my songwriting journey and mentioned, you know, wrote about this song. And I had a woman contact me just the other day and said she just lost her husband and how this song has just seen her through that. And the Tallies have told me every time they perform it, they see people that just weeping, you know, they look out at the audience and they're crying and,
amen.
You know, it. So it is encouraging, like, as a songwriter, you don't hear a whole lot sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You write your song and you send it out there and then I'm not the performer of it, you know, and I don't see people's response. I'm just tucked away, hidden in my little studio back here writing all the time,
mm-hmm.
but... it is encouraging when you get some of that feedback on,
sure.
on how it ministered to this person or that person. I'm grateful that it was, you know, the Lord has been able to use it.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Bernadette Negus from Savona, New York, and she is up for a Dove Award for a song that she's written, and the song is When the Answer is No. It's a Southern gospel song, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And
yep.
what are your hopes, Bernadette? For this song, and what do you want it to accomplish in people's lives that hear it?
You know, my only goal for it, you know, I mean, obviously it's exciting to hear the word Dove Award, and who knows if it'll, you know, that doesn't really matter to me. What matters to me is knowing that the reason I write is because when God tucks these things in my heart, it to build the body of Christ, that people could receive hope and encouragement and just the same hope that we live through these things, these real life things, you know what I mean? He's with us. He'll see us through. And, you know, if it can encourage other people, man, then it's done its job.
That's Bernadette Negus from Savona, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
Love that feature. Thank you very much, Bill. It's great to hear from Bernadette, a former employee here at Family Life. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the noon report. You can also catch it online anytime. Just go to fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As a cool front crosses and moves out of the region this day, we get a little break from the humidity on the way. As the air cools in the upper levels of the atmosphere, though, the instability that will result will pop a couple of scattered showers as we head through Wednesday and Thursday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, sunshine, mixed clouds, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms, though, over parts of eastern Pennsylvania. Humidity will start to lower. It already has for some. Temperatures peaking in the 80s, dropping into the 60s tonight under starlight. Tomorrow and Thursday, intervals of clouds and sunshine, a couple of scattered showers and thundershowers. High tomorrow, low 80s. The high Thursday, upper 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. And finally at noon today, frontliners on the fairways. The prestigious Oak Hill Country Club in Penfield, New York, paid to have 50 frontline workers play a free round of golf yesterday. It was to say thank you for their tireless efforts at containing coronavirus.
As a nurse, I know how to take care of COVID. I'm not afraid of COVID. I'm not afraid of any of that, but I'm afraid of golf.
Despite their mishits and bad swings, the healthcare professionals had the time of their lives teeing off at that legendary golf course.
These folks have been working really hard to take care of a lot of people that need them, and we're here to take care of them today.
That's Gulf Pro Jason Ballard. He says Oak Hill asked area hospitals to send them the names of 50 first responders who are in the thick of the coronavirus grind.
And that's who these organizations sent to us. URMC, Rochester Regional, Ambulance, Fire, Senior Living. The people that are really dealing with the pandemic firsthand.
Sherry Glavin is a home health aide who was grateful for the chance to play around on the course that the pros play on.
And it's very hospitable of them to invite us all out here, especially the way I play. But it's fun.
In addition to the free round of golf, Oak Hill sent all those frontline workers home with a fully prepared dinner to share with their families.
Our job is to take care of the community, and the fact that the community is taking care of us too, it's amazing.
And that is how community works, or supposed to work anyway. Way to go. Frontline workers, all of you. And hats off to the Oak Hill Country Club as well. Class act there in Penfield, New York. And that's our world for a Tuesday, July 28th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.